Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, the Paul Dottino Report is brought to you by United Healthcare and their Oxford products by RE/MAX. Visit RE/MAX.com to find your home and agent now. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. And by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. Paul Dottino, what's up?
Hi, Paul.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're wonderful, Paul. Wonderful.
Fantastic. Yep. So let me start with this, Paul. Your take, because I'm sure you've watched the Giant game over and over again, as long with preparing for Carolina. But what's your takeaway on why this offense continues to not be able to consistently score points? They had the great first drive. That was fantastic. But it's constant. They just don't score enough points. Diagnose it. Why?
Well, they've got a couple of real big problems here. Number one is they have been unable to consistently run the ball, and they haven't been patient enough to allow that running game to develop. That would be my first point. My second point is they have been of the mentality of playing the percentages and taking what the defense will give you. I personally, while I understand that mentality, because there are many teams that have won a lot of games doing that, I'm of the opposite. I believe that when you know you've got quality arm, quality skills like the arm of Eli Manning, you've got the quality receivers that you have, and a guy like Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham Jr., you have a quality big play running back like Saquon Barkley, I don't take what the defense gives me. I take what I want. And I tell those guys, and this all goes back to the Bill Parcells philosophy. You guys know I basically tutored under him, cut my teeth under Parcells. Bill would tell guys during the week, he would challenge guys during the week and tell them, I need you to make a play. I need you to beat that guy. And if that didn't work, then he would insult the living heck out of those guys. He'd insult Lawrence Taylor. He'd insult Jumbo Elliott. He'd insult Phil Sims. I mean, he would do whatever he had to do to make sure that that particular player on that weekend was going to outperform the guy on the other side of the matchup so that they could make the plays they needed to do to win. So I'm of the opinion that you need to seize what's yours and don't necessarily settle for the high percentage play that the analytics brainiacs would like to tell you about. I mean, look how the analytics worked for the Athletics last night. Yeah, real good, right?
I like it. Yeah, I hated that, but that's another story. Mm. I'm glad.
Yes.
Glad it backfired on their faces.
What about the injuries, Paul? Eli Apple, Olivier Vernon, what's the deal?
Well, Eli Apple looks as though it's all systems go. He said he was close last week anyway, so it's no surprise that things look really good for him right now. He's picked up his workload. They're going to be heading out for their afternoon practice session in a short while. They just had the walkthrough this morning. Olivier Vernon told me he's hopeful. He's looking forward to Sunday, but ultimately it will be up to the trainers to decide. He has to figure out, A, if he can cut and make sudden movements without pain to his satisfaction. He thinks he's getting close, but then the trainers have to also agree with him. So I get the feeling that could even be a game time decision, but right now he is holding out hope that he will play against the Panthers, and that's going to be a big deal against Cam Newton for sure. The other thing is that Sterling Shepard had a cyst removed from his back the other day. Coach Shurmur had told us about that. Talking to Shepard today, he said it feels kind of weird. I guess he's got some stitches back there. It's kind of an oddball football injury. It's not a football injury, actually. It's just an oddball injury for a football player to have. He's not practicing for a few days, but he said he fully expects to play on Sunday.
You know, one last thing about the Saint game, looking back on it, because you think about the way this game starts. Defense forces a three and out. Giants get the football. They march down the field. Very little resistance. They score a touchdown. It felt like the game changed on the fake punt because they're about to get off the field again with another three and out. They're going to have good field position. They're going to be up 7-0. It really felt that moment, the whole Taysom Hill completion on the fake punt, that changed everything about that game on Sunday, Paul.
special teams has really been a bugaboo for this club since the beginning of the season. As you guys know, they've had trouble handling kick returns. That in itself has been just not a good situation. And then on top of that, they get, you know, nailed on a fake punt. I agree. That was one of the three significant turning points for me in the game, aside from some of the poor officiating and things that happened in the second half. I mean, I thought right before the end of the half, when they stalled and had to give the Saints the ball back and Breeze went down there and milked the clock, the Giants didn't call timeout. Pat Shurmur admitted he made a mistake. And then the Saints were able to milk the last couple of minutes off of the second quarter, and they kicked a field goal. Giants had kept them out of the end zone. They were 4-for-4 in terms of having to kick field goals in the red zone with the Saints. And so, you know, it was a 12-7 lead at halftime, and it was like, hey, Giants are in good shape here. They're not really much of a problem. They're going to be okay. Well, they start the third quarter. They get two first downs, and then Gallman coughs the ball up, and the Saints get the ball inside the 10-yard line after the fumble return. So those two series for the Giants, which sandwiched around halftime, to me, that more than anything else, and there were other key plays, I get it, but those two series more than anything else really, really set them back big time.
How about where the quarterback is right now? What's your overall feeling through four games?
I think Eli Manning right now has been victimized by the take what the defense will give you philosophy. Again, I understand, Joe, the analytics part to this. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to play the percentages. Teams are playing the soft zone. They're playing the two deep. They're saying, okay, we're going to take that away. And so far, the Giants' philosophy has been, if you want to take that away, okay, take it away. And we'll just play underneath and try to make a big play that way. Again, I know teams have done that over the years. Personally, I would not. There are three things you can do to operate effectively against that style of defense. One is you pound the ball and run it effectively so that one of those safeties has to come down into the box. Okay? That's the first way you get them out of that zone. Second way you do it is you run double seam routes inside your routes on the outside boundary, because now you're going to have at least three one-on-one matchups downfield. Now it's going to be up to your guys, somebody out of those matchups, to win his matchup. And then your quarterback has to have enough time to get it to him. That's another way you can bust a too-high safety zone. Then the other way is, usually you'll take a tight end, but you could certainly take another player. Even a Saquon Barkley could do it. You run somebody in the deep middle who splits the safeties, but he's actually underneath the umbrella, somewhere between the deep linebackers and the two safeties in the zone. That is a soft spot in that defense. And if you can get somebody to run a route in there, he's going to be clean inside of that zone. Now, of course, again, it means your offensive line has to hold up, what, 3 seconds, 3.5 seconds, right, to allow that play to develop. Those are the three things philosophically that you can do to be a too-high safety zone buster. It's really very fundamental, but you got to want to do it. You got to say, well, we're not going to let you take away parts of the field and parts of our playbook. It's an aggressive mentality. And quite honestly, guys, most coaches in today's NFL, they want to play the percentages.
Right.
That's where analytics has infected like a toxin into many coaches' mentality.
I want to go back to one of the first things you said, because to me,
I like the way you said that. Toxin.
He's passionate. He even mixed in the A's with this, too.
I'm with him on that.
But they,
I'm old school, fellas. What do you want from me?
No, I like it.
No, I'm with you, Paul.
Here's an old school thought, and you touched on it. Pound the rock. I mean, I don't think they've run the football enough. I mean,
Shurmur has said that. He admitted that this week that, you know, Saquon Barkley should be getting some more touches, and specifically in the running game. And if you look at Barkley being the kind of guy who's a home run threat, who's a big play threat, you know, he's not going to be the kind of guy, you know, like John Riggins, that's going to pound, 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 and by the 25th carry, the defense is worn out, and then he's going to hit one. That's not the way Barkley is. Barkley, it's simply a matter of how much volume do you give him? Because then by simple math, that increases the chance that he's going to make guys miss and then turning into positive yardage.
How do you feel about this game, Paul?
You know, Joe, the Giants did not prove it to me last week. I told you guys after the Houston game, I believe. I need to see it 2 weeks in a row. I know how good I think they're capable of playing. They're one of those teams in the quicksand of mediocrity in the middle third of the NFL, I believe, talent-wise. They have not even performed at that level on a consistent basis, which is why they are 1-3. It's the same situation as Houston. I felt that Houston was an absolute triple must win, and they were able to go down there and play like they're capable of. Well, they didn't show me consistency, and they lost the game to New Orleans that they could have won, and now they got to prove it to me again. So I don't know, guys. I think, you know, they got to show up. They got to show me what they showed me in Houston if they're going to win this game. They're certainly capable of it, but do I have any confidence that they're going to show that to me? How could I? After 4 weeks, they have not shown me back-to-back solid games.
And this is a tough matchup. Carolina's already 2-0 at home. They're coming off a bye.
Right.
Teams
right.
tend to be a lot better off bye weeks. And stopping this run, Christian McCaffrey's had a very good year, and Cam Newton with the zone read, which the Giants have had issues with. I mean, those are three things that would scare me going into this game.
Well, there's no question that Carolina, again, one of Parcells' things, he used to tell us all the time, fellas, you know, one of the things you want to do is you look at every aspect of the game. You say, okay, where are those matchups that we win and where are the matchups that they win? And then you say, okay, how many different ways can they reasonably expect to win this game? How many different ways can we reasonably expect to win this game? And then at the end of the day, when you do that, you look at the chart, and if the chart's lopsided, then you know which team should be heavily favored. If the chart isn't very lopsided and it's somewhat equal on both sides, then it's okay. Who's going to make the fewest mistakes and who's going to make the most plays? I honestly believe the Panthers and the Giants are in the same big pool of quicksand. I don't think either one of these teams is significantly better than the other.
Mm. All right. We'll see. We will see on Sunday, Paul.
Yeah, pain in the ass because the Jets and Giants are on at the same time, which stinks. Yeah. I wish the league didn't do that. But
what are you going to do?
I hate that. I really do. But Paul,
just remember something, Evan.
Yeah.
The good old days were always the best old days.
In a lot of cases, yes. Not all cases, but a lot of cases.
Paul, you know what? I'm with you, Paul.
Thank you, Joe.
See you, bro.
Paul DeTino. There's a list of things that are not better from the past, by the way.
Okay.
Off the field and on the field.
I understand.
I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, I don't want
it's not overwhelming, put it that way.
No.
But there are plenty of things that
are
better from the old
days.
Absolutely. It's not everything, though.
No.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.